at littlepassports.com.
This is an editorial statement from the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Board of Directors. The Equal Rights Amendment has been on the table for states' ratification since 1972. That is close to 50 years. A two-thirds ratification of the states, meaning 38 states, is required for passage. 37 have ratified the ERA, but Florida is not one of them. The amendment reads, quote, "Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Passage would ensure that all people, regardless of gender, are assured of no discrimination in terms of property, employment, divorce, and other such matters." Let's be proactive. Start contacting your elected Florida representatives and senators to vote yes on the concurrent ERA resolutions to ensure equality for all Americans.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to continue our look at the previously forgotten paupers cemeteries that have been found around Tampa in Hillsborough County this year. And I want you to weigh in as well. You can call in with answers to these questions. What do you think needs to be done to properly memorialize the people who are buried there? Should the families be compensated? Will there be other, where will the other forgotten grave sites be found? These are some of the questions I'd like you to answer. Here's the number to call in, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Less than 2 weeks ago, the Hillsborough County School District released the results of ground-penetrating radar. They found 145 graves on the grounds of King High School in East Tampa. The same week, MacDill Air Force Base announced that it was likely that a pauper's cemetery from Port Tampa was on base grounds. And earlier this year, a cemetery was found under a low-income housing complex in Tampa. Well, the school district says the results are being sent to the county medical examiner and state archaeologist, as outlined in Florida law. And so after about 30 days, those two entities, the medical examiner and the state archaeologist, can decide to keep possession of that land or turn the land back over to the school district. And so in the meantime, the school district has set up a 20-person group called the Historical Response Committee, and what they're doing is brainstorming a response to the Ridgewood Cemetery that was found at King High. Many of the people on the Historical Response Committee are leaders in the African-American community. They're educators, pastors, and state legislators. Hillsborough School says if the land returns to the school district, it will work with members of the Historical Response Committee to discuss proper ways to memorialize the individuals, how best to care for the space, and learning opportunities for students at King High School and other schools. So we're going to hear from most of the 20 members on that committee over the next half hour or so. I want to give out the number again, 813-239-9663. You can also email your comments or questions to dj at wmnf.org and text 813-433-0885, and I'll be taking your calls throughout the show. In the first segment, we're going to hear from Tamara Schamberger, school district member. We're going to hear from State Representative Diane Hart, Hillsborough County Commissioner Les Miller, State Senator Daryl Rousson, Tampa City Council member Orlando Goods, Pastor Reverend Larry Roundtree, former State Representative Sean Shaw. He also ran for Attorney General last year. And we'll hear from Jeff Akins, the superintendent of Hillsborough County Schools. So we'll be back to take your phone calls in just a few minutes, but let's hear the beginning of the most recent Historical Response Committee meeting about these pauper cemeteries that were found under King High School and other places in the county.
The information that was given this morning and potentially regarding the next steps moving forward, although we know that for the next 30 days there's not much we can do, but we certainly welcome you to have that discussion. So please, Representative Hart.
Good morning. Yes, I am very disturbed by the fact that we have located more individuals. It's almost as if we have a missing African American community, that we've just been buried everywhere throughout our city. And that's very disheartening, and It burdens my heart to know that that has happened at King High School. I don't know how children will be directly impacted by having a cemetery on their campus and having not known it was there and how it's going to directly impact them. I don't know if you all are going to have to provide some services for some kids that might find it difficult to deal with. But from the state, I want you all to know that I am fully committed to doing whatever it is that we need to do to help get this memorialized properly. Now, you all know that we did put through a bill and we were open to doing amendments. So now after today, I'm beginning to wonder if we may need to increase the dollar amount that we were proposing in lieu of the fact that we've now found a second burial cemetery, not even knowing how much is still over at Robles yet. So I will have that conversation with both Senator Cruz and Senator Roussan, and then we'll decide how we move forward on the bill. Do we stop the bill for this session, or do we just, you know, put out an arbitrary number? Because that's going to be important, I think. I don't know.
Well, first,
what do you think?
I don't think you stop the bill.
Just go ahead and file it. And
You file the bill and whatever dollars you think you can come up with.
Okay. Use an arbitrary number?
Yeah, well, not an arbitrary number, something that you think you can come up with. However, we all know there's going to be more.
That's right.
There's more to be found. I'm hearing, as you all know, Port Tampa used to be its own city. Mm-hmm. And there's some things happening down there that I'm getting wind of. So it's going to probably, I would not stop the bill this session if I were you all. I would carry it forth. And then next session, if we find other things, you go back and amend the process.
Okay.
And do it that way. That would be my suggestion.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Mr. Chairman, and would add that tragedy can lead to triumph. History, or should I say their story, needs to be told, and it's up to us to do it. These were a people, a family, that was covered over, and they're more like it. This just underscores the point. And I think it's incumbent upon us to make this tragedy a triumph, to tell their story and tell it loudly.
Schoenberger, I know we opened this meeting up, but after this development that we've heard, I think we have a bunch of ministers around the table. And I think at some point we need to have maybe Pastor Banks or Pastor Roundtree, Pastor Gay, give a word of encouragement to the public, know that spiritually we're here. And like Senator Roussan said, tragedy, triumph. It could be appropriate to have a moment of silence or one of the pastors could lead us in something so we can get that feeling of comfort as we move forward.
Thank you, Councilman Goulds. There's an account in the Bible where Cain slew his brother, Abel. And even though Abel was dead, God said his blood speaks. And although these people have been dead for decades, their blood speaks. They were important to their families. They were important to their communities. And they need to be important to us. We have a commission and an obligation from God to care for widows, poor, fatherless, and strangers. And those of us who've been blessed and fortunate enough to have plenty are under a great mandate to do everything within our ability to give these people the dignity that they've been robbed. We need to ensure that they are not forgotten, and we need to ensure going forward that we don't handle this just as business as usual. These were precious souls that need to be respected.
Yeah.
That's my pastor, y'all.
My pastor, too.
I have a question. I appreciate us talking about what's going to happen going forward, but how did this happen and who is at fault? Like, I'm interested in knowing, even if it means, you know, holding someone accountable 20, 30 years later, I'm interested in knowing how this happened, what happened to the records, why this occurred, and why we are where we are today. I would hope that that's a component of what we do and talk about in addition to how we treat this going forward.
Madam Chair. Do you anticipate any lawsuits going forward? I know it's a little premature at this time, but just like Sean said, someone has to be held accountable.
I mean, our focus has been on making this right, and so things of that nature may occur. Our, what's in our control right now is to do exactly what Reverend Roundtree says, is make sure we bring back dignity to these individuals, make sure we engage our students. Thank you, Representative Hart, for bringing that up, because our students, they're at King High School at 10:30 today. Their families, teachers received this message at the same time the community received this message. We do know that our students will probably need some services around this, so we'll make sure that those services are available to the students at King. We also know that the King students, as students all across the school district, they need a voice in this, so that they start to have some ownership of some solutions for the for their future, and this, and take some control of their future, and how people are treated with dignity in this community. And so we're looking forward. I know we have Dr.
Holt.
Thank you. Dr. Holt here with us today in our Supervisor for Social Studies, and he will help to lead that for our school district. But I will tell you that students are going to be part of this, and that's going to be a very important
component. Any component, this is a learning opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a component of that learning opportunity, in my opinion, is how this happened.
Yeah.
And why it continues to happen to people that look like myself,
yeah,
and others around this table. And why the only burials that we find, that we are finding unmarked and grown over and ignored, are ours. And so I think a component of this has to be, why is this happening? How is this happening? And even if this is a long time in the past, we need to figure out the records and look at it. I'd be interested in that being a part of this learning opportunity.
It will absolutely be part of it.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Historical Response Committee that has been set up by the Hillsborough County School District. It's a 20-person group, and they're trying to craft a response to the Ridgewood Cemetery being found at King High School in Hillsborough County in Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. This is WMNF's Midpoint Monday at 12:17 in the afternoon, and we're going to hear more from the Historical Response Committee in just a minute. Some of the voices that you just heard were at the end there. That was Jeff Akins saying that, agreeing with former State Representative Sean Shaw. We also heard from Reverend Larry Roundtree, Orlando Gudis, who's on Tampa City Council. We heard from Commissioner Les Miller and others, including Representative Diane Hart and Tamara Schamberger, who is a school board member. In the next segment, we're going to hear from Les Miller again. We'll hear from some of the same people talking again, Tamara Schamberger and so on. But I want to let you know that you can call in with your thoughts, 813-239-9663. You can also email or text as well. Before we go to the phones for just a second, I'm going to go to the first caller in just a second, but I do want to read this email that comes from Gary. And Gary says that that he wanted to let listeners know that retired Navy Master Chief Doug Tudor, who WMNF interviewed when he ran for the 15 seat, the Florida's 15th congressional district seat, has died in Maryland unexpectedly. He was a friend of the station and, more importantly, a friend of democracy. He was 54. So that's an email from Gray. I'm sorry, I may have said Gary earlier, but Gray says that Doug Tudor has died, who had run for the 15th congressional district seat. So thank you for letting us know about that. And let's go now to the phones, and Patrick is on the line, and he says he owns a portion of the area that's being talked about. You own some of the land near King High School?
No, that is incorrect. I actually own a portion of the Marquis Colon Cemetery in West Tampa.
Okay.
You may remember this story from a little over a year ago, where a gentleman was trying to build a single family residence on a vacant parcel of land at the cemetery, and we stepped in and purchased the land off of him and have been working to basically put all of the parcels back together under one ownership with the city of Tampa and create a historically designated landmark for that cemetery, and then start a nonprofit cemetery company in order to offer new burials as a way to generate a revenue stream for the city to continue maintaining the other existing cemeteries that they own.
And is this, so the city's cooperating with you. Are there still parcels of the former cemetery that are owned by other people?
There are currently two parcels. One is owned by Service Corporation International, which is the largest funeral and cemetery company in the world. and there is another portion that is owned by the grandson of the original founder of the cemetery, Jerry Boza Jr. So we're working to get those two parcels, and then I will own all of that cemetery, and the city of Tampa owns a portion, and then we'll work together to transfer ownership to the city, so that way that cemetery is completely owned by city of Tampa.
And just to learn more about the area you're talking about, one difference between your area and King High School is that the one in King High School was essentially forgotten to almost everyone. The land transferred hands a couple of times, and when they built the high school, they certainly didn't know they were building on top of on the grounds where there was a cemetery. Is there any construction on top of the graves at the site that you're talking about in West Tampa?
There are, yes. Previously, before Columbus Drive was Columbus Drive, it was... was it Buffalo Avenue?
Buffalo was the previous name of MLK.
Okay. So Columbus Avenue or Drive, when it was widened from a two-lane to a four-lane road, there were actually cemetery parcels on the north side of that street where now there sits a strip center. So several shops operate in this location, and it's been that way for several decades, but there are most likely burials still underneath Columbus Drive, as well as under that strip center, because the cemetery operated on two sides of the road. And at some point they did exhume bodies from the north side of the street and move them into the south side cemetery, but there's no guarantee that all bodies were exhumed properly. And this is something that you actually see all throughout the country. This is a relatively common occurrence in most cities. The reason being that before Napoleon Bonaparte really declared what is a cemetery, which is Père Lachaise, one of the oldest known cemeteries in the world, to be outside of the city walls, most people just had burial plots on their property, or they had a churchyard cemetery. And those churchyard cemeteries were maintained by the clergy or the members of the community. And over time, churches move, people move on, legacies are forgotten in communities, and you start to see a decline in the maintenance and care of these burial plots. A lot of times, too, if people owned 50 acres in an area and then they slowly sold them off, there's no guarantee generations down the road knew that their family members were still buried or where exactly they may be. And a lot of that is attributed to they didn't really have stone markers the way that we do now that are a bit more permanent. So if you had a wooden marker that decayed over time, you really lost the way to track where that burial was. And then you also have historically that Black cemeteries throughout the country were targeted and purposely paved over in order to erase the memory of the freed Black Americans in this country. And it was very purposeful and very racist in that action, but it happened and it's part of our history. And that's what I think we're seeing more with Zion Cemetery, King High School, and this Poplar Cemetery at MacDill Air Force Base.
So before I let you go, Patrick, first of all, thanks for calling in and adding this perspective. But also, what do you think that people should be doing right now, especially the members of the Historical Response Committee, the city of Tampa that owns Zion Cemetery, or at least part of it? I think the Richard Gonsmart owns part of it as well. What should these people be doing to show respect for the people who are buried there and for their families?
It's very difficult to say exactly what should be done because burial services are very personal, and a memorial such as this that covers multiple different areas. As an architect, I feel that there should be some sort of similar language in the design for whatever memorial is provided for these cemeteries. But at this point, I think mostly trying to track down family members and anybody of that relationship to anybody who may have been buried in those cemeteries is the most important thing right now, because at the end of the day, it's their right to say what should happen with the lands.
Well, we have a someone who wrote in a text message or an email that I don't know the answer to, so maybe you can provide some perspective before you go. Liz in Spring Hill writes, were there building laws in place then, like now, doing archaeological assessment? I want to know how this happened besides the obvious, and I'm just going to read in a little bit to her email. I think when she's saying the obvious, it's what you just brought up about the paving over the history of freed black slaves or freed black members of the community is what she's referring to as the obvious, I'm assuming. So, but she means technically, how did this happen?
There were zoning codes in place sometimes in cities. Obviously, zoning codes develop over years and years within areas. So relying on handwritten records that people have modified, and if you look at what Ray Reed has provided from Hillsborough County in regards to the Cemetery for All People, you'll actually see that there were maps where people cut out and glued over existing hand-drawn maps for new revisions. So they're, again, purposely erasing this history by destroying or damaging the only original document that may prove that this cemetery was there. So there, even though there are laws in place, there were obviously people at work purposely trying to remove this from the landscape.
All right, Patrick, thanks so much for calling in and getting the questions started. I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj at wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM, wmnf.org. Midpoint Monday, I'm Sean Canaan, and we're talking now about the various pauper cemeteries that have been found in Hillsborough County. There was one that was found in Zion Cemetery, which was found underneath a public housing complex. There was this one that we're focusing on today mostly, which is at King High School in Tampa. There's also another one suspected in MacDill Air Force Base, Port Tampa. Also, there's lots of cemeteries underneath downtown Tampa, Fort Brooke. There may be African-American cemeteries there. There might be early settler, white settler cemeteries and grave sites there, and also probably Native American grave sites there, where there's all this construction going on. So if you'd like to comment about any of that, 813-239-9663. Right now, we're going to go back and hear a little bit more from this historical response committee that was set up by the Hillsborough County School District to come up with a response to finding the Ridgewood Cemetery at King High School. In this segment, as I mentioned earlier, we'll hear from Les Miller, Tamara Schamberger, Representative Sean Shaw, Tampa City Council member Orlando Goods, and others. Here's more from the Historical Response Committee.
This also speaks to another platform that I think we will need to, will be part of our overall review. And Chairman Miller mentioned it a moment ago. Those of us who grew up in Tampa understand that you didn't find communities of color all in one corner of this county. Port Tampa was not only a city unto itself, but there was a thriving African-American community there, separate and apart from those who happened to live in West Tampa, those who happened to live in Central Park, those who happened to live in Ybor City, those who happened to live in Belmont Heights or Jackson Heights, those who happened to live in South County. So when we begin looking at, to Sean's point, the historical backdrop, it really speaks to an educational moment to talk about how unique, but how the challenge of pulling together communities that were pulled apart for any number of reasons. But then ultimately what strikes me and ultimately saddens me is when I hear the report talking about children being buried. You see, because we know that those parents were doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
And those parents were left with literal no option other than trying to find a way to honor that young talent that would never have the opportunity to reach its full potential. So our challenge as a committee, I think, along with the other things that have been referenced, is to take that educational moment to talk about how that young talent can be honored, how that young talent can be represented in such a way that not only are their memories resurrected, but more critically, our community begins to understand that that difficult time wasn't just difficult because adults struggled. It was difficult because we had young talent that never got the chance to see because of health care, because of food or nutrition issues, because of who knows the wide range of factors that were at play. What we do know is this, that their families couldn't afford to honor them the way they wanted to. So our challenge is to embrace this moment and to understand that we've got some education to do and some reminder that this community, for all the tall buildings and all the wonderful things that we look to today, it's only a community because we care about the least. And these and this location is about those who are the least of.
There's going to be more of this fountain. Mm-hmm. A gentleman that does his research, I understand he does it all day and night. That's mm-hmm. all he does. But I brought up Port Tampa. Port Tampa is a city in itself, at a vibrant African-American community. I understand that he has found something in Port Tampa area that will be coming forward. Uh-huh. So as we write this history and teach it in our schools, it's going to build on and more about what we find. But I think this committee right now, even though we can't do anything for the next month, those of us that are in this community need to find out exactly what we need to do from our constituency and honoring those that are out there, not only at Robus Park, but out here at King High School and those areas to come. I know that the school district is focusing on King High School, but this committee is going to have more to deal with than King High School, because there's probably more to come. Yes. And your responsibility is to educate those young people out there what happened and why this happened, even if it hurts. Mm-hmm. Even if it hurts as to why it happened to African-American community back at that particular point in time. They need to understand. Yeah.
Let me just speak on that as well. And I know Sean's question is an actual question. It's not rhetorical, but you know, my response to that is, we know why this happened. Mm. Certainly back in that day, profits were put over people, especially people that look like you and I. And so this district, although the current administration, no one knew about this, we're certainly thankful for the citizen who brought this to our attention, holds complete responsibility. The superintendent of the district, we're going to make sure that this is righted. And in fact, to Commissioner Miller's point, the superintendent, at the request of this last committee meeting, has already kind of put together a cemetery management plan, and we've started looking at records of some of our schools to see if the same thing has been found. And so from our last committee meeting, we've already started that work so we can get ahead of it. And so we are searching all schools, certainly and predominantly African-American or Black areas, to see if we can find anything. I mean, they're digging back through decades and decades of records. It's tedious work, though, because even knowing about Ridgewood, looking back through decades and decades of records, I mean, it's like finding a needle in the haystack about this cemetery. So, but we are committed to making sure that if and when, I guess, is the question, this happens again, that we're prepared to respond accordingly. But the district is responsible, and we accept responsibility for what has happened at Ridgewood, and we're going to make sure that it's right.
No, and I'm sorry. I appreciate that. I was more interested in the purchase at the time the land was purchased and why it might have been mislabeled. And I'm interested really in the concrete nature, in addition to we know why. I'm interested more in the concrete, how it actually happened with regard to the transfer of property and all that. But I appreciate that.
Yeah, that was my one question, was that Councilman Goose, where is the city? Where's the city in this process?
We've got a report due to come back that I asked for all of any type of records or documents to originate back. But I think more importantly, since we have the elected officials here at this table, I think more importantly, we have to look at what are our ordinances and laws within Hillsborough County and at the state level, and they may need to be changed or strengthened to prevent this type of thing from happening again. So that's something that this committee may also put on a bucket list, and also the elected officials look at as well.
Madam Chair,
Do you anticipate having a public meeting?
Well, we will get a response to that question in just a second, but I wanted to break in to let you know that you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And this is a meeting of the Historical Response Committee that came about 10 days ago. The school district of Hillsborough County has set up a 20-person group called the Historical Response Committee. It's trying to brainstorm a response to the Ridgewood Cemetery being found at King High School. And there's other cemeteries around the city and around the county that have been found. And there's a big question about what to do about this. And so the Historical Response Committee is just talking about it. And you can hear the types of things that they're discussing. And I want to hear what you have to say as well. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj at wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. It's 12:36 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM wmnf.org. I'm Sean Canaan. This is Midpoint Monday, and we're going to hear Tamara Schamberger answer the question of will there be other meetings. She's going to answer that in just a second when we go back to the Historical Response Committee meeting. We will hear from Daryl Roussan, state senator. We'll hear from Yvette Lewis, the NAACP president of Hillsborough County, has a very impassioned response in here. And we'll also hear for a representative from State Rep. Wengay Newton, who was not at this meeting, but he's on the panel. He's on the Historical Response Committee. So we're going to go back to this committee now, but you can call in or email or text your comments or questions, and we will put you on the air. This is more from the Historical Response Committee talking about the Ridgewood Cemetery being found at King High. Tamara Schamberger is about to tell you that there will be other public meetings.
Yes, absolutely. Listen, the community is very important in this process. That's why we have you at the table, those of you who have broad reach into the community. So a couple of things we're going to ask that you do. Those of you who certainly have reach and a voice, those of you who have radio shows in our community, to really poll the community about what really should happen, not only with Ridgewood or Zion, but the other cemeteries that will be found in the future. As far as this committee, we will have a third meeting relatively soon, probably after the 30-day period, once we hear back from the state, and we will allow the community to come in, voice their concerns and their opinions about what should be done as well. So we absolutely want to be transparent, and we want to be inclusive and make sure that everybody is involved in this process. This is not a school district thing. This is a community issue, black and white, by the way. This cemetery is largely African American, but there is a portion of Ridgewood that's actually white. So this is a community issue, and so we want to make sure that the entire community of all color, of all cultures, are involved in this process and the process moving forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because it is a class issue.
Mm-hmm.
Class issue. When we looked at our initial meeting, you could see the transaction, Mr. Shaw, that took place when the city owned the property,
right,
sold it to a private investor, and I think less than 3 years later, he sold it for exactly twice as much as he paid for it. He just wasn't fortunate. That wasn't fortuitous. That was pre-planned on the backs of the poor. And so it's a systemic issue. And we can address Ridgewood and Zion and some areas that are beyond the school board's purview. But until we understand that this is a systemic issue in our culture, and understand that profits have always been made on the backs of the poor, this isn't new. Until we stand up and unite ourselves to be a voice for these people, dead and alive, then it's going to continue happening. You know, we can address one, but like you said, it's a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to find a needle in a haystack, let's move the haystack,
mm-hmm,
and put something concrete in place to make sure that these people are honored. And you know how much burials cost today?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah. So we have to do something. This is a great opportunity to launch into some programs that can be put in place so that when loved ones die, people aren't having to wash cars and sell fish dinners on the corner to bury their GoFundMe to bury their loved ones.
One other observation, and this actually directed toward Senator Roussan and Representative Hart and Senator Cruz. As the state is grappling with this 30-day window, anything that can be gotten back to us regarding input, thoughts, obviously you're going to be grappling with cost issues associated with the bill, but anything that you can access for us, that will help us understand their process or how we might react or give input would be, I think, would be appreciated by all around the table.
Thank you for that. And I want you to know that I'll be consulting with Senator Cruz and Representative Driscoll and Representative Hart. We do go back to Tallahassee December 9th for committee week, and I think it's appropriate to have a meeting with leadership to discuss trajectory, where we go from here, and whatever information we can get before that date, provide to this committee and to the school district.
So we have, of course, our civil rights organization, the NAACP, represented on the community. Madam President Yvette Lewis, thank you for being a part of the committee. Do you have any initial questions or concerns or any clarifying questions that you, on behalf of your organization, need answered today or have today?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the school district for stepping up to the plate and taking ownership of what was just discovered and delivered the information much different from the city of Tampa, have not taken any ownership. So with this, you know, our history has been jaded, has been whitewashed, has been torn down. And like Commissioner Miller said, you know, our history has to be told. And I do believe that something's going on in the city of Tampa, in Hillsborough County, that our ancestors are trying to tell us something. This is time. This is now. You know, I'm just, to be honest with you, just taken back with all of this, because you look at it and reality is, coming from a civil rights organization, and I have to say it, it's just was hatred towards people who look like me. And it just deeply saddens me that people can hate you that much that they can just treat you less than, and then we and forget about these people. What do we do? You know, we have to honor these people. We have to say something. I don't care what the dollar amount is. The city of Tampa, Hillsborough County, all of these people at the table, the powers of be, have got to recognize the spirits and the souls, the blood, sweat, and the tears that these people have contributed to this city and this county. I don't want to hear nobody tell me about a dollar amount. Just do it. For God's sake, I am sick of this. This hurts deeply. That we can be thrown away and nobody tells a history. Nobody's telling these people history and these people's story. Unbelievable. And I'm born and raised in this city and I'm ashamed of this city right about now. And this county. I'm ashamed.
Thank you, Madam President.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle Grimsley. I'm the legislative aide to State Representative Wingate Newton, and he is actually now the chair of the Hillsborough delegation. So I would like to make sure that you know that he is very committed to finding out, as Representative Shaw stated, why and how this happened. He stated at the first meeting that he's sure there's more to come, and I hope that there is a plan in place to start to figure out what the next steps will be so that the process can be expedited in a better manner in the future. He is in San Diego at a conference, so that's why he is not here, but I just want to make sure that you know that he is committed to standing by our other state representatives and senators in this issue, and we will do whatever we can to back you up.
Well, those were some members of the Historical Response Committee talking a couple of weeks ago about to respond to the Ridgewood Cemetery being found at King High School. And we'll hear the last segment of the Historical Response Committee's meeting in just a few minutes. But I do want to give out the number again in case you want to call in and share your thoughts. What do you think needs to be done to properly memorialize the people who are buried there? And should their families be compensated? Will other forgotten grave sites be found and where? Give us a call, 813-239-9663, or email dj@wmnf.org. The text number is 813-433-0885. Please send us your first name if you text us. So what do you think? Well, let's hear the very last segment here of the school district's Historical Response Committee formed to respond to the Ridgewood Cemetery found at King High School. In this segment, we'll hear from Superintendent Jeff Eakins. We'll hear from Reverend Bartholomew Banks, school board member Tamara Schamberger. Here is the very end of the most recent Historical Response Committee meeting on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org.
Let me also thank the district for being proactive in looking at those other areas where we know African-American families and families of color resided. I know Commissioner Chairman Miller and I talked about the fact that at our last meeting, that there, if you start at Ybor City and work east, there's a cascade of cemeteries, almost one after the other, working from Nebraska, working all the way to 56th Street. And when you realize, you see that pattern, you have to know it's not by accident. So thank you for listening and then taking the initial step to take a look at your own properties in that area to see whether those properties are perhaps areas where there's there may be a further need for examination.
I appreciate that. And so, Madam President's comments, there was no dollar amount that we want to even talk about. It's whatever it takes right now for our school district to get this right. I think what we wanted at the very onset when this information was delivered to us, and that we wanted to set the template and the tone for how this process really needs to be orchestrated across our community. And we feel like our partner GeoView did a very thorough job, and we have gone through every record. We have a location in our building that has all the historical records of every transaction that's ever been made here in Hillsborough County. So we started that immediately at the request of this committee, and we will continue to expand that perimeter if we feel like we need to. Right now we have not, but it is tedious, as Ms. Schamberger had said. It's looking through every record. This would not have come to be had we not put all the pieces together. Just looking at school board records would not have uncovered this. It was really about triangulating, deeds and property appraisals and looking at all those different documents that ultimately brought us to the conclusion that we need to do something. And so that's the kind of work we're doing right now, and our staff is committed to doing that.
I just wanted to point out too, in 1997, the Florida legislature created a report of African American cemeteries in the state of Florida. There was no apparent action that was taken from doing that report. Senator Cruz, Senator Roussan, Representative Hart, Rep. Driscoll, Rep. Newton, the point of that legislation that's been filed is to actually take action and speak to what you were saying, Yvette, dollar amount, appropriations, what have you, actually taking substantive action from a report. This report has lots of pretty pictures. It's online. It's great, but nothing happened from that, clearly, because we're still finding them, and Tampa's under a microscope here. It's not the only place in Florida that these cemeteries will be found. We have a real opportunity to be the example for the state, and that's what Senator Cruz definitely is committed to. So thank you for your leadership.
Thank you so much for that support.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I recognize this is a dark day in our community, this information coming forth, but I'm an optimistic person based on my faith, and there's a scripture that I rely on, Romans 8:28, that says all things work together for good for them that love him. In spite of all the evil that happened when this occurred years ago, God has the ability to flip it for something that can be positive. And the commitment that I see around this table is positive. The school board stepping forth to take responsibility is positive. The commitment from our legislators to pass the appropriate legislation to accommodate taking care of this situation is positive. The commitment to use this as a learning opportunity for our children to hear about our ancestors is positive. So our country has the ability, and we've demonstrated it in the past, in times of crisis, to come together. With so much that is dividing our country today, perhaps God in his infinite wisdom knew that we needed something to bring us together. Mm-hmm. And so this is a focal point that we can come together and demonstrate, and as someone just indicated, we can be a model for the state, because this is not an isolated incident.
No.
But if we handle it appropriately, then we can be used as a model for other communities to move forward in a positive way as well.
Thank you so much, Reverend Banks, for that. Thank you so much for that. We, from the last committee, I think Reverend Roundtree asked, like, has this been done before? One of you asked, like, has this been done before? What can we learn and glean from other communities who've experienced this or other school districts? And again, we got to work immediately, and I tell you, there's really just nothing out there, right, Superintendent?
There are some examples, but knowing the caliber of people we have around the table, none of the examples would be what we would consider to be a best example of how we would want to treat this particular situation. We have a high bar here, and I think we're going to set the bar very high for how we do this right for our family.
So to your point, Reverend Banks, like, we have a chance to really set the tone for how future cemeteries are handled when they are located. So we're very honored to have each of you at the table so we can make sure that everything's handled appropriately moving forward. Anyone else have any comments or concerns? Okay, so seeing none, again, moving forward over the next 30 days, we ask that you continue to engage your constituents, your communities, about the possibility of what will happen if this property is turned back over to the school district, what we would like to see happen. We will keep in contact with you regarding the next steps, the next dates for our meeting, the location, and all of that stuff. But we remain, the superintendent certainly remains available, myself, for any questions or concerns you may have in the meantime. But we definitely have a chance to show the greatest amount of dignity and respect to these families, which is our number one goal and our number one priority. And so we thank you for helping us make this right. So thank you guys for being here today.
Well, that's Tamara Schamberger. She's the chair of the Historical Response Committee. She's a Hillsborough County School Board member. And we also heard from School District Superintendent Jeff Akins. We heard from Reverend Bartholomew Banks, and we heard from several people that are on the Historical Response Committee. We've heard from almost all of them or their representatives during the last half hour of discussion. The Historical Response Committee was set up by the school district to create a response to the Ridgewood Cemetery that was found at King High School. Many of the people on the committee are leaders in the African American community. They're educators, pastors, and state legislators or other elected officials. And Hillsborough County School says if the land returns to the school district, it will work with members of the Historical Response Committee to discuss proper ways to memorialize the individuals, how to best care for the space, and learning opportunities for students at King High School and other schools. What do you think? You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 12:53 in the afternoon, and we'll be taking your calls and texts for the next 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. And also have another interview, partial interview or so to play, one or two. We have a text here that came from, well, this person did not sign it, from the area code 813. This person, here's part of their texts. Says, no, I don't feel family should be compensated at all. I don't. What color you are, it happened, it's over, it's done, you move on, and that's what's happening, is everybody is so hung up on, oh, it's black people, it's white people, it's these people, get over all that. You don't deserve compensation because your family were buried somewhere and there was a school built over the top of the graveyard. It goes on, but that's the gist of what that person wrote, 813. So if you'd like to comment, you can text us at 813-433-0885. Please sign your name. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or call in, and I'll put you on the air, 813-239-9663. One member of the Historical Response Committee that we heard from a few minutes ago is Yvette Lewis, president of the NAACP Hillsborough County Branch. And so I interviewed her after that meeting. This was about a little less than 2 weeks ago, and I asked her about the news about the 145 graves on the grounds of King High School. Here is part of our interview.
I am deeply saddened. I am hurt, frustrated, confused. How can we continue to go through this? Ultimately, a state of shock.
This isn't the only cemetery where there's people and there's buildings around and there's it was essentially forgotten or sold or something like that. What do you think should be done about the other ones compared to how this one's being treated?
I think it's time for African American story to be told on how the ancestors helped carve this city, helped make Hillsborough County, helped build on to the city, that the lives that were shed and given to this city and to this county, it should be respected, because we were a part of this building of this great city. I was born and raised here. Who's telling our story? Everybody has their history being told. You can go into Ybor City, their history is being told. You can go other places in this city and in this county, their history is being told. But we just keep asking for someone to just tell, help us tell our history.
Well, that's Yvette Lewis. She's president of NAACP Hillsborough County Branch. She spoke to me after the county school district announced that 145 graves had been found by radar on the grounds of King High School. And 145 is actually about 100 less than they expected. And Hillsborough County School Superintendent Jeff Akins laid out some of the possible reasons why there were 100 fewer coffins found than known. One is that radar is good, but it's not perfect. Another is that many graves may have been moved. Some might be below a workshop building there at the school. There could be water intrusion that would disrupt the radar. And finally, some may have been too small to find because there are dozens of infants or small children known to have been buried at Ridgewood Cemetery. So those are some of the reasons. Next up, we're going to hear part of my interview with Hillsborough County Commissioner Les Miller. I asked him, he's also a member of the Historical Response Committee. And I talked to him about, what he had just learned about 145 graves being found at King High School. What are your thoughts? 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Here's part of my interview with Les Miller.
We already had an idea that there was a cemetery on this property. We just didn't know where it was. And my discussions with the school board, we didn't know if it was going to be on the northeastern part, which came close to county property. But then as we went along, we found us in the southern part of the property. It's unfortunate, and it's not the last time we're going to hear this. This committee and the school board have made a commitment that we're going to honor those that are there and do whatever we can to make sure that if there's still families that are alive, that they know who they are. But there's more to come.
Do you think that there will be reparations to those families?
That I don't know. Someone mentioned about lawsuits. It could very well be. We just don't know at this particular point in time.
Well, that's Hillsborough County Commissioner Les Miller. He's a member of the Historical Response Committee. It's considering responses to the news that a mid-20th century cemetery for poor and indigent people, mostly African Americans, was on the grounds of King High School. And before we close out the show, we're going to play just a short clip of Hillsborough County School Superintendent Jeff Akins, who spoke before this meeting, this Historical Response Committee meeting, just in announcing what they found by ground penetrating radar at King High School in East Tampa. So here's Jeff Akins.
By itself, radar cannot tell exactly what is in the ground. However, based on the pattern of the findings, along with historical records, these appear to be coffins or voids in the soil where a coffin has decayed over time. In fact, there are agricultural lab facilities and one building. It's an agricultural workshop built in the late 70s. Right now, it's not clear whether more remains or are located underneath that building. We are now making plans to remove that building to verify whether any remains are located below it. Our scanning covered a wide area around the cemetery, so we believe we have found the clear perimeter of the burial ground. We also performed a thorough scan of the second area of interest. We found no evidence of any burials at all in that area. That's the northeast corner of the original campus. Records vary, but they show between 250 and 268 burials at Ridgewood Cemetery. Our scans show evidence of approximately 145 burials. Every record we found indicates all the burials were done in the same small area, taking up about 1 acre. They were not spread out over different parts of the property. Plus, this is the only area of the property that builders left undeveloped when they constructed the school in 1959.
Well, that was Hillsborough County School Superintendent Jeff Akins speaking 2 weeks ago during the release of a final report by geophysicists from the company GeoView. He said there are still about 100 fewer coffins than were expected, as we mentioned earlier. Well, I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. If you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, you can call me at this number, 813-238-9663. 8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next show. If you missed any of this show, you can listen to it on our website, wmnf.org/news. You can also watch the Historical Response Committee's meeting on video. It's on our website right now. You can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers, Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.